Good evening, beloved. I want to thank you for coming out tonight for Q&A, and I am currently in Virginia, scheduled to speak and also preach that evening to a group of historians. So, in our preparation this evening for Revelation Lesson 197, let us prepare our hearts by going to the Lord in prayer. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we want to give you thanks and glory this evening for all that you've done for us. Lord, we thank you for the ability to come now to this point in our study of the book of Revelation. Lord, I ask now that you'll open our hearts and mind to your truth as only you can. For we ask these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Well, tonight we are looking at what is entitled, The Most Important Message in Revelation. Tonight we're going to look at one verse, and that is verse 17 of chapter 22. And if you have your place there, say amen. You don't have to stand, you don't have to read out loud, just follow along with me. And your sword, your copy of the King James Bible. And we read, And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So in our last lesson, we saw, beloved, that Jesus' last words in his last book of the Bible. Tonight, we will observe what this most important message is in Revelation. Some would say, well, this is, of course, the message of prophecy. It would be then the message of the end times. It could be then further stated to say that the most important message in Revelation would be about what's going to happen through the tribulation, to believers, to the lost, etc. But rather, this has to be the most important message in the book of Revelation, and not only the book of Revelation, but the entire Bible itself, where we see here, and the Spirit and the Bride say. Now, first of all, let's understand something right here. We want to note what Oliver B. Green says in his commentary from Revelation, and he says, It is not the Spirit in the Bride, but the Spirit and the Bride. Now, I find that very, very interesting when you stop and understand this. Now, when you look at this, you see the Spirit there is capitalized. And that's important because the Spirit that is capitalized, that is referring, of course, to one of the ministries of the Holy Ghost. Please remember, the Holy Spirit is not the name of the third person of the Trinity. Rather, His name is the Holy Ghost. We've went over that before previously, but this is where we read here, and the Spirit, that of course is referring to the Holy Ghost. And then it says, and the Bride. Now the Bride, of course, is the church. So this then is a twofold invitation. It is an invitation to Christ to come, and an invitation to sinners to come to Christ before he returns to this earth. So the Holy Ghost now, of course, is in the world. Remember, he will be removed at the moment of the rapture. And he likewise joins in the prayer of the church, saying, Lord Jesus, come. So the Holy Ghost, through one of his ministries under the Spirit, then, is performing this work throughout the world today of converting and convicting men of their sins. And he works through the Word and through the Word and through the prayers of believers. He works through the local New Testament church, which is supposed to be proclaiming the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and also teaching believers to grow in the Word of God. So the invitation then is for men to come and to take freely then of the water of life. When you read what Gill said in his commentary, he said, Hearing Christ say that he should come quickly in Revelation 22:7, it said, The Spirit and Bride express an earnest wish and a most affectionate desire after his coming by the Spirit may be meant the Spirit of God. And of course, that is true. He then goes on to say that they look and long for the coming of Christ and hasten in the breathing of their souls after it. And this in like manner he may be said to wish for and desire it in them, as he is said to cry, Abba, Father, in them. Galatians 4:6, and to make intercession for them, Romans 8:26, of course referring to the Holy Ghost. So, we understand here that this is a twofold invitation. So, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come, C-O-M-E, the come there is calling the lost then to repentance. But it's also, as Gil mentioned there, it's a twofold idea. In that, we are also praying for the Lord Jesus to come. But specifically, when you seek to look at the interpretation, when we read here about what all these things are as they will be going through, we can interpret this to mean that this come then is all linked into the understanding that this is referring to the lost man to come. Because you see, the Spirit and the Bride say come, and then it says, let him that heareth say come, and then let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So all these comes there are boiled down to one idea at the end, and that is those that have been told to come are to partake of the water of life, really. So then we understand this is an evangelistic call. It is an evangelistic cry for those who are reading, those who are hearing, those who are understanding the words that are being spoken here before it is too late to come to the water of life. So that is what we're seeing here. Now, you and I, along with some of these other commentators, may apply this to us by saying, we want the Lord Jesus to come and rapture us out of this world. But that would kind of, in a way, be selfish because not everyone has been given the gospel as of yet and the opportunity, as far as we can see. But what we understand here is that this is God calling out to the Holy Ghost. And, of course, then we say, and the bride say. So this is also the message of the church. Now, we understand that the bride refers to the church in heaven. While the church is on the earth, then that is called the body of Christ. So this is both Spirit, the Holy Ghost, through His ministry, and the bride. The part of the church is already currently in heaven there, part of the body of Christ there. The whole thing right now, as far as our understanding in 2017, and of course John in 96 A.D., the whole church had not been brought together, but he had been in the future when he saw the whole church joined together and where she had finally become officially the bride of Christ. And so they are calling out, come. And now it says here, and let him that heareth. So we understand here from the very beginning that those who hear, part of the blessing is that not only those that keep or have, or rather obey, but those that hear the words of the prophecy of this book are blessed. So the one then who is listening, like you, to the book of Revelation, we understand that they should likewise chime in now with the Holy Ghost through one of His several ministries upon the earth as the Spirit, and then and also the Bride of Christ, the Church. And then let him that heareth likewise chime in, saying, come. Why the understanding of this idea to come? Because of the urgency with what John has seen, what he has already been sharing with us about this whole time. John is saying that now is the time, if you're going to get right with God, now is the time to come to the Lord while there is time left. Because as we noticed about two lessons ago, there is coming a point in time when those who are not saved will be unable to get saved, you see. All right, so our next point is, and let him that is athirst come. Now, he's not saying here, let him that is athirst say come. No, because that's the lost man. So he's saying, and let him that is athirst. So many people thirst after different thing. Because there is, as I've often heard one man say, there is a God-shaped hole inside of us, inside of our soul, that only the Lord Jesus Christ can fill. Otherwise, man tried to put religion, he'll try to put sex, he'll try to put drugs, he'll try to put things, he'll try to put money, jobs, hobbies, people, family, himself, whatever it may be, and he'll try to plug that hole inside of his life, but he can't do it. And it can get packed in, but it'll all fall out or either disappear. And the only thing that's going to plug that hole inside of your heart, inside of your life, inside of your soul, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so then this person then is the thirst. Now, Gill mentions here, he says, these seem to be the words of Christ, inviting such who thirst after him, his grace and righteousness, after more knowledge of him and communion with him, to come unto him by faith and partake thereof. He references John 7:37. And then he switches gears to say, or who thirst after his second coming and the glories and the lights of the New Jerusalem state, to come into it and eat of the tree of life and drink of the river of water of life in it. Again, that is an application there. The true interpretation, lining up with the whole thought here, is that, and let him that is athirst come. Remember, if you put this chronologically, those who are athirst would be those in the lake of fire, and they can't get out of that. And therefore, the whole idea of evangelism during the eternal state is absurd. And it is sad to say that that is a time when no one can get saved. So this then, we have to remember in this whole thing, beginning around verse 6 of chapter 22, is where John is coming back to 96 A.D., and the conclusion of the book of Revelation is reminding people now, you need to get right with God, because everything that has just been seen, everything that's just been experienced by John, he is motivated now more than ever to make sure that people hear the gospel and that they make that decision for Christ. Because in his eyes, time is running out. Time is of the essence. At any moment, Jesus could come back, and then it will be too late to those that have heard the gospel and have not yet responded. They will be reprobate, as we've covered already in a previous lesson. So here we see the invitation, and let him that is athirst come. And now this other point here is, and whosoever will. Now notice, that is a exhortation to whoever will. That is whosoever. This condemns the notion that there are those that are predestined to heaven and those that are predestined to hell. That simply is not part of God's plan, and it is not part of God's word. The invitation is for men to come and come to the water of life, whosoever will. You go back in Isaiah 55:1, you can see that. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, without money and without price. The Lord Jesus said in John 7:37, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. So the idea is that this is whosoever will. Whoever out there is thirsty for God, thirsty for the real Messiah, thirsty for the real Savior, the real deal, if you will, the real McCoy. This is an invitation to the whole of humanity. Red, white, yellow, black, pink with yellow, purple polka dots. It doesn't matter who you are, where you are, what you are. God is extending this invitation to you, to whosoever will. And to do what? Let him take the water of life freely. Now, we have seen throughout our studies in Revelation, the water of life here, of course, is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is referring, you go back in John chapter 4, you can see that where Jesus speaks to the woman at the well, telling her that he will give her living water, that is the water of life, which will become a wellspring inside of her soul. That's one of the reasons why we can say, along with the psalmist out of Psalm 23, that our cup runneth over. And so, as application goes, we drink from our saucer, so we can give the cup of the water that is overflowing our cup to someone else who is athirst. It's fine for me to use the saucer, because I have been saved, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and therefore I have already partaken of the water of life. But that one out there, they need the water of life. And then he notice he says, freely. So this is not part of the Catholic system of sacraments. This is not part of any system of penance or any of the ideas of indulgences. These are all connected to the free gift of salvation. It is not works. It is not earned. It is not purchased. It is not bestowed because of rank or position or hierarchy inside of the ecclesiastical ranks or any of the orders, such as the bishops or the archbishops or the popes or any of the monks or nuns or any of those orders or anything like that. It isn't based upon your denomination. It doesn't mean that you get the water of life because you are a Baptist or because you're a Presbyterian or a Methodist. None of that. This is the most important message in Revelation, because this is the idea here that anyone, wherever you are, wherever your station in life, wherever your rank in the army or in politics or whatever, whether you're a slave or whether you're free, whether you're white or whether you're black, whether you are a Italian, a German, or a Yankee, or even a Southerner, it doesn't matter, whoever you are, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely, which of course is Christ. There's no way you can get to this point in Revelation and not understand that the water of life refers to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The water of life is bestowed only through Christ, and the water of life is where you also have the Holy Ghost inside of you. And so that, to me, then, is the most important message in Revelation, because it is a cry, it is a call for anyone, anywhere to be born again, to accept Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior. So there it is, the most important message in Revelation. It is one that can change our lives. And you know, you look at that and you go back into John chapter 4 where Jesus talked about that water of life will be like a wellspring. When you think about a well, you dip the bucket down in there, and so many times a weary traveler comes through, and you as a good hospitable Southerner or as a hospitable person, you would try to dip that bucket down there and get the ladle over there and get them out some nice, cool, crisp, man, I'm getting thirsty. Get them out some nice, cool, refreshing water. And that would refresh them so they could go along their journey. And that's like us as well, that you, since you are a well that has that living, that running water of the Holy Ghost inside of you, you are then able to dip down inside of that well and give that out to passersby as they travel upon this journey to that undiscovered land, from that undiscovered country, from whose born no traveler return. Right, David? All right, there you go. And so, beloved, there it is. Revelation lesson 197. I know that you're going to get out just a little bit early, but I don't think y'all will complain much about that. I look forward to seeing all of y'all on Sunday, the Lord's Day. And again, I apologize for my appearance in a T-shirt here, please, in blue jean. Forgive me, you know that's not my style, but that's what I've had to do in my busy schedule at this moment. So, again, thank you for attending tonight. Thank you for being faithful to your trust. I trust that you will have a good experience this evening during the evening worship service. I pray that God's presence will be with you, and I pray that you will also pray for me as I deliver the Word of God and, of course, historical truth. I tell you, folks, this should be my last foray for quite a time. It just happened to be a perfect storm, seemed like, this year. Because you know me, for about 12 years, the only time I ever was absent from Danieltown Baptist Church was on the first Sunday in June. And it seems like I've been in more demand this year, and I understand my obligation and my responsibility here to my flock, and I understand that, which is one of the reasons why I try to appear to you in this format, even though it is by DVD. So again, I apologize for my absence this evening, but I am looking forward to what God's going to do on Sunday, because don't forget, the end of this month, we are going to have a double two-part Q&A session at the end. If you have not yet submitted a prophetical question, please do so as soon as possible. And so with that said, let's all bow our heads. And Daddy, if you will be so kind as to dismiss us with a word of prayer, we'll see you soon. God bless you, my dearly beloved. Thank you so much.